How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Household tips is our subject tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm hot. Maybe it's the nature of this. We lost our checklist. Maybe that'll make a difference here. Where's the button? Oh, the top one. That'll help. All right. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, bless the people tonight with simple truths from your word. I ask for this blessing for them in the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's want to talk about household tips, because when I mentioned this, a couple of people, I say, well, is that something like how to do the wash? You know, yep, something like that. But household, very important biblical concept, household. A household is a jurisdiction. It is a location. It is a geographic designation. It is a space over which presides a man and a woman, normally, husband and wife, and in which children are raised, a household. Households are very important to God. Getting established in life requires not just getting established as a person, but getting established as a household. And there are concepts that are really important in the scriptures on the establishing of a household. And we have spent some time on household before. But tonight, just going to give you 12 biblical tips on your household. So are you ready? And let's go. Number one. The first tip, get the blessing of God by being just. Now, I want you to take a look at this. Get the blessing of the Lord on your household. Notice the scripture. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. The household of a wicked person has a curse on it. Now watch this. But he, that is God, blesses the habitation. A habitation is the household of the just. So, at the beginning, if you're going to have a household, the first best tip I can tell you from the scriptures about making sure that you have the blessing of God on your household is that it will be related to the character of the people who dwell there. If they are a just and equitable people, do they do what is right? If a husband does not do what is just, he will not have the blessing of God on his jurisdiction, his household. And his household is really important because in the household dwells one of the greatest gifts a man can have, and that is his wife. Amen. Thank you. Rest of y'all and pray very well. Give an altar call here in a moment or something. He that findeth a wife findeth a good. It's a good thing. Two are better than one, right? Oh, come on, you aren't getting this. It's not good for a man to be alone. Marriage is God's idea. And he designed men to be married. Now, there are a few exceptions that he makes for certain reasons. And he defines them. They're referred to in the scriptures as eunuchs. They don't require marriage. And it's the only option to being married is to be single and to be a eunuch. Now, the scripture says there are three kinds of eunuchs. There are those who are born eunuchs. There are those who are made eunuchs by man, such as Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were eunuchs. They were brought from Israel and eunuched. And then the third kind is those who voluntarily become eunuchs for the sake of the gospel. Paul refers to these several times in his epistles. And he became that. In other words, in the seventh chapter, he said, he that marrieth a wife cares for the things of the world, how he might please her. But he that single cares for the Lord and how he may please the Lord. There are people who are specifically called out of normality. Did you get that now? Out of normality, called out of normality to be single. Don't make any mistake about it. To be single is not normal. And I'm not talking about 16, 17, 18, Crystal Heather and whoever else. You're okay single right now. Better to be single than to wish you were, and this is a good place for you to be until Dad says otherwise, and God leads otherwise. But in terms of a duration of life, that God intends normal for marriage. Now, I don't know how I got off on this, but watch here now. Is that when you, oh, that's right, in this household, there's you men, your most special prize, this gift of God, this one of whom God gives seven specific instructions about how to treat her. And you don't have options about it. And then there are the children. You know, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and your children like olive trees round about the table. So that's what's in your household, and it's so precious that of all the things you want to happen to your household is you want it blessed by God. And the only way to get it blessed by God is to qualify by being a blessable person. To be a blessable person requires that we are just and equitable. And God will not, look at this, God doesn't bless the wicked. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. Let's look at another verse. A just person wouldn't do this, but if somebody rewards evil back to somebody who does good to them, look at this. Evil shall not depart from his house. It's going to affect his wife. It's going to affect his children. It's going to affect the assets in the house. So household tip number one is make sure you get the blessing of God on your household. That's the best tip I could give you from Scripture. Get the blessing. Get the blessing. Get your household blessed. That geographic jurisdiction, be it less than a quarter of an acre or 100 acres, whatever the size of your household is and your lot and your land and your household, you want to get the blessing of God on it. Tip number one. And you get it by being a just person. Tip number two. Keep your household stable. That is, don't let your household be good and then bad, up and then down, forward and then back, blessed and then cursed. You want to stabilize it. And that's, watch it now, this happens when the husband and the father, along with the wife, consistently walk uprightly. Now look at the scripture. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle, that's the place where you dwell, the household of the upright shall flourish. So staying in an upright condition and not having character one moment and loss of character another moment, it's not, you see, in order to be an honest person, you have to be honest all the time. And if a father and husband is not consistent and he isn't consistently upright, but he deals treacherously sometimes, this will cause instability and there will be no flourishing of the household. So consistency of character causes God to bring a flourishing, a long-term, not turning back, stable flourishing of the household. Here is another scripture about the same thing. In fact, if the house of the righteous, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Now, this could be jewels and gold and silver, obviously could be that, and really nice furniture might be that. But let me tell you, it might not be that at all. You can have treasures. You can have children. You know, do you remember the Sunday school song based on Scripture that describes children as what? Precious jewels. Remember that? Anybody remember Sunday school? Come on. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Yeah? Like the stars in the bright sky. God wants to fill your house treasures, not trash. Expensive, valuable children who each of them is sparkling from the grace and the glory and character of God. In the house of the righteous, it is not going to happen in the house of those who are not righteous. Do you see that? This walk uprightly thing is really important. Now watch this. In the revenues of the wicked is trouble. You show me a man that produces lots of money, but is a wicked person, trouble shall not depart from his house. Everybody get it? Household tip number two. Here's number three. Keep wisdom as the highest priority in your household. Keep wisdom as the highest priority in your household. Talk about what is wisdom and what is not wisdom all the time. Make it the core. Why should wisdom be the main subject matter in the household? Because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all they're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. It should be the core topic of the household. You see, what we tend to do in a household is everybody throws their opinions around. And a certain amount of that, okay. But what we should really be doing is say, well, what is the wise viewpoint of whatever the given subject is that's being discussed? What is the wisdom on it? And so that wisdom becomes the core and the highest substance of the house. Why? Because wisdom has the ability to build a wise house. Now, let's look at another verse. Through wisdom is a house builded. This is not talking just, this is not talking about the 2x4s and the plywood and shingles. This is talking about the stuff that it takes to build a household. Wisdom. And it ought to be the conversation. Wisdom builds a household. Understanding keeps it established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, let me see. I can't stop here. All I want you to get is tip number three. Is in your household, keep wisdom as the topic of conversation, the highest. Household tip number four. Don't let your house be damaged by materialism. Now, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. Now, this happens a number of ways. You'll have trouble in the house if a man works too many hours of a day and too many days of a week, because he's putting gain ahead of very important priorities. I'm trying to think of the quote. I wrote it down this afternoon and see if I can bring it back. The man who overworks at what he calls his business will do so at the expense of not fulfilling his obligations in other areas. And that's not, it's not one-tenth as good as the quote was, but the idea here is that if our business and occupation and financial gain occupies too much of our life, then there will be trouble in the house. Because we have duties back there. We have to be in attendance back there. We have responsibilities back there. Now, another application of this scripture would be this. When children are raised where the parents are materialistic, you can count on the fact that your children will either do one of two things. Will become materialistic, or they will be bitter because you put the material things ahead of them. Talking, fellowshipping, learning, discussing, busyness. He that is greedy of gain troubles his house. This is interesting too. I like this last part. He that hateth gifts shall live. And I like this because I have learned how to sort my mail better now than I ever did. I don't know about you, but I get stacks of mail. And every envelope that offers me something free inside, I throw away. What a blessed relief. Because there's nothing for free. And you are kidding yourself. It's a hook. It's a trick. It's a con. He that hateth stuff for free shall live. You won't be ensnared. You won't be trapped. Anyhow, don't let your household be damaged by materialism. Tip number five. let not the husband or the father be wimpy. You didn't even know this was in the Bible, did you? Now, this is tough. So let me say a few tough things here. First, let's look at the scripture. How can someone enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he can spoil his goods? I want to suggest to you today that the number one ability of Satan to damage children and to damage households is because we have men that are bound. They're bound. Sometimes the handcuffs are made out of gold. Sometimes the chains are made out of loss in negotiation. However a man gets bound is not nearly as relevant as that if he is bound, the house can be entered into and spoiled. That's why I want to suggest, let me go ahead and suggest to you ladies, because I happen to believe that women are very strong, and there's a whole subject I want to get into at a later time. Be careful that you do not bind your husband with your tears, with your tantrums, with your self-pity, with your oh poor me's. If you enslave your husband emotionally and you live in a household now where a man is bound, the children can be spoiled. They're not can be, they probably will be, because now Satan can enter in because the strong man is bound, and now he can come in and spoil his goods. I don't understand why I'm supposed to tell you what the Bible says. You know, what kind of things do you think can bind a man? Samson found out that it wasn't rope. He could break rope. He could carry the gates of the city. He could break chains. They couldn't bind a man. But a woman bound him. And men are instructed by God. Listen to this. Give not thy strength unto women. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't use our strength for women, because we better. That's why we've got strength. That's why he's the head of the house, because so nobody else can come in and mess with the wife and mess with the children and mess with the goods, destroy the household. But the biggest bondage, the biggest binding of men today is done by women. That's what the pornography problem, the pornography plague is all about. It's men bound by women. Why is it men are losing positions in the workforce, workplace? What is the cause of so much weakness today of men? Why wimpy men? And let me say, I'm not at all promoting this, because I happen to think that the whole macho man is a fake manhood anyhow. It's a pretended thing, like I'm tough, but look at my muscles. Don't the husband be wimpy. Now, ladies, you're going to have to forgive me, maybe. That's the only way we're going to get out of this meeting tonight. But I have to say this. Be really careful. Because here's why. You are capable. You are endowed with the position and the skills to manipulate your husband. You are in a sacred position, a position of honor. Don't misuse the position to finagle. Leave him free to be accountable to God for making right decisions without the right to appeal. Absolutely, right to appeal. Biblical seven principles of appeal. You all know what that is. But I'm talking about the fact that what binds men today, A, is women, and often their spouses, because they have a position of influence. They are positioned. That a man is vulnerable because his vice president, his associate, has the access to him. And she is endowed with the ability to contrive and to carry out and to reshape his wise choices after their own ends. You got the position and you got the ability, but if you do it, you damage the one person that God has sent to be the swordsman, the defender, the fighter, the protector. Be careful. What we have today is, in Christianity, part of that is because of the lack of balance in a lot of some of the teachings about authority and stuff. All we've got is men who are in charge of a household, but they got this problem. And that problem enables the enemy, if he is bound, to come in and spoil his goods. Let's look at another scripture. A man is to know how to rule his own house. Otherwise, how can he take care of the church of God? And the Bible tells that every man should be zealous of the position of elder and the position of deacon. And yet he must be able to, is he in charge? Or is he in charge only to the level that she limits him to be in charge? Is he a puppet? Is she really pushing the buttons, pulling the string? Now, I want you to get this really clear. I'm pleading here for a balance. On the one side, the woman's right to make a biblical appeal based on the seven principles. You don't know them, pick up the book for $2. The seven principles of appeal. But after that, anything farther than that is the exploitation of the man. And for whatever reason, right or wrong, we men can be manipulated and brought down and not be our best selves. Because women have such power. Ask David. Ask Samson. By the way, he is to provide for his own, especially for those in his own house. This is not just physical things. But if he doesn't do this, he is called by God to exercise leadership. Tip number 6. Hi, Joe. Everybody say, hello, Joe. Joe, welcome. Joe, all the way from Japan. Yeah. Home where you belong, Joe. Glad you're here. Welcome. Household tip number 6. Household tip number 6, keep unity at all costs in the home. Keep unity at all costs in the home. So here's Jesus talking to these guys, and this is what he said. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And now he takes this principle and he says it applies to the city. Now watch this. And he applies it to houses. If a house is divided against itself, it shall not stand. Tip number 6, unity at all costs. Fight to the finish. Get the battle over with. Get everybody on the same page. It must be unanimous. And it doesn't come by vote. It comes as a byproduct of a husband, a wife, a father, and a mother who are in unity. Because if there's no unity in the leadership, you're going to be divided on the ranks down below. There must be absolute unity. Keep unity at all costs. It's a fight. Be worth fighting, because if not, the house will not stand. The very things that you want to achieve through your household will not occur. Look at this. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Now this refers to the father or the mother. If the mother troubles the house, she shall inherit the wind. If he troubles his house, he will inherit the wind. Everything is lost unless the unity of the household is maintained at all costs. And listen, watch this now. And the fool, who's the fool? The fool referred to here is this person up here who troubles his own house. Shall become a slave to the wise at heart. Tip number 7. Let the wife join her husband by focus on being supportive and constructive. Positive, not negative. This is a really important tip for the success of a household. Now, It's interesting, because let's go to the Proverbs 31 woman here. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She looks well. She investigates. She contemplates. She applies logic and thinking. She ponders. She's observing and making decisions. She looks well to what's going on in the household. Now remember, if the husband is trying to lead the household somewhere and she's divided against that, the household won't stand. So here we have, in this tip number 7, is this wonderful cooperation of the woman to look well to the ways of her household and not to just let things happen. Now, watch this now. She doesn't just, well, whatever's going to be will be. Watch this now. She throws herself into it. How do we know that? Look at this. Because the next phrase says, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. She is in his absence in the field of work. She is vigilant. She is looking well. She's making sure the household's staying on track. The kids are doing what they're supposed to do according to the father's leadership and instructions. And she is not lazy about this. She's not running to the mall every... her concentration is a supportive, positive, and constructive role of making sure the household is on the track. And as a result of that, the children are going to benefit. And they will stand up and call her blessed, and so will her husband. And they will give praise to her, because this is what the woman of God should do. Tip number 7. Let the wife join her husband. Let's look at another scripture. Every wise woman buildeth her house. But she can't be building something that the man's not building. Some opposing structure. Some internal option. That's why children should not be observers of conflict between husband and wife. If we do not have a settled opinion, then husband and wife, father and mother, should retire to a location where they can get it straight. And once they've got it straight, they should come out as a united voice, a unity. No bickering, no conflict, no back talk, no debate in front of those that you're leading. Resolution together, and then supportive of one another, because a wise woman builds a house, but the foolish woman plucks it down with her hands. She should never badmouth her husband, never call him down, never disrespectful. Tip number 7. One more verse. Better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than have a big house and live there with a brawling woman. A brawling woman. Now, somehow those... I guess it couldn't have been a brawling lady, because a lady wouldn't be a brawler. I don't know. But women don't... I mean, men. I mean, you've seen them on the news where... Yeah, I mean, the election in Mexico. I mean, imagine all the senators are having a fist fight. That's brawl. How do women brawl? Not with their fists. Oh, do they? I don't know. My wife's never done that. She probably wanted to. Really? All right. Well, it includes physical. What was that? Tip number 8. Do not allow strife. Exclamation mark. No strife. Zero strife. better to have dry toast and dry cereal and quiet than to have a house full of stuff you've sacrificed for. Nice furniture and lamps and whatever else makes a nice house. And have strife with it. Strife. Big trouble for household. Look at the scripture. For where envy and strife is, look at what will be in the household. There is confusion and every evil work. Tip number 8, no strife. Deal with it. Tip number 9, keep all the egos subdued. That includes everybody from head on down. Keep the egos sanctified. This is the great, isn't this the great conquering of the Lord Jesus Christ in us anyhow? When Jesus Christ comes in, the ego is subdued, or else he doesn't come in. It's a dethronement of self, that ego, the exalted ego, the driving, forceful ego that always has to have its own way. Now it's Christ's way. Because the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Let's take another look, or look at another verse. Pride goes before destruction. That's why you don't want it in the house. Let me give you another verse, and I can't give you the reference, but let me quote it. Only by pride comes contention. What causes contention in a house is the conflict of egos. His ego, her ego. Keep the ego subdued. Tip number 10. Don't allow slothfulness or idleness. Zero tolerance for slothfulness or idleness. It will destroy a household and it will destroy the house. Now, look at this. By much slothfulness, the building, because that's part of your household, the building decays. So, I got a leaky faucet at my house. I haven't called the plumber yet. We're under major construction in our house. There's a lot of leaking stuff at our house right now. We're going to fix them as well. Why? I have been asked numbers of times by ladies, Christian ladies. Why does stuff not get done around the house that the father or husband should do? Or it does, but it gets done who knows when? The answer. Was everybody here 2 weeks ago when we did the subject on how to overcome procrastination? Procrastination is simply the top side indication of this condition right here. Through idleness, the hands of the hands, the house drops through. Fix stuff as soon as possible because it will get worse. And you don't have to fix it after it drops through. But the problem is slothfulness and idleness. These are the two subjects addressed in the subject. Now, I'm going to tell you why this is important. If a father exhibits slothfulness or idleness about looking after the house, then he has just given a lecture to his children on the benefits of being slothful and idle. Because they learn from our examples, right? So don't allow slothfulness or idleness. Tip number 10. Tip number 11. Stay in your own house. You go home, go to your home. It's headquarters. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. You don't belong there. He will become weary of thee and he'll hate thee. But you do belong at home. Stay at home. Now, interesting how important this is. In fact, this is so important that over in the passage of 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, we have instructions to husbands. Okay? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife. The place for a man is in his home. We only leave the home out of necessity, but our real hearts back there, get back home. Stay home. Dwell in your house. Dwell with your wife. Stay in your own house. And then lastly, tip number 12. Now this is really a big one. Do not receive transgressors into your house. Do not receive non-followers of Christ into your home. Now, a little scriptures here in just a moment. Before I do, I just want to explain a couple things about this. Remember, a household is your personal jurisdiction. You answer to God for your household. Now, outside your household, you cannot control the coming and going of evil people. You cannot control the coming and going of evil people to your business, to your place of employment. You cannot control whether they are Christ followers or not. But in your household, which is your jurisdiction, is the place where you have such control. Now, what I want you to see in this last tip for household tonight is I want you to see why this is an important one. So let's look at the scriptures. Ready? Look at this. Look to yourselves. That's a good starter. Watch out. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have been working towards. Look that we lose not the things which we have wrought, which our hands have wrought, which our energies have wrought. To wrought, it's not R-O-T, it's wrought as in to bring about. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have brought about, but rather that we receive the full reward of what we've been working towards in the household. Now, this is the context of this verse, which is seldom quoted. But we're going to come to it. Well, watch this now. The issue here in a household is we don't want to bring in that which will cause us to lose what we've been working at producing. Uprightness in our household. That's why, listen to this. That is why in the Bible, from one end of the book to the other, you will discover that God makes us accountable for the conduct of the, quote, are you ready? The stranger that is within thine house. If he's going to be in the house, He must comply with the rule, the regulation, the standards, the values, the purposes, the goals, the objectives, the beliefs of the household. For example, remember the Sabbath day to keep holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And then the next verse goes on and says, it applies it to you, to your children, to the stranger that's within thy gates. They have to keep the Sabbath. They have to keep the Lord's Day like we keep the Lord's Day. Why? Because we want to be careful not to lose those things which we have been trying to produce by allowing someone to come into our jurisdiction and contradict or undermine very things we've been trying to produce in this limited jurisdiction, this household, this holy ground, this sanctified territory over which God has made you overseer. Now watch. Whosoever transgresseth, this is who this is applying to now. Transgressors. Don't bring transgressors into your home. You can meet them somewhere else. You can deal with them about their soul. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't want to state more than the Scripture says, but I don't want to state less than the Scripture says either. The Scripture says, we're going to see in a moment, that we're not to receive them. That doesn't mean the plumber who comes to your house to fix the plumbing has to be a follower of the Lord, or because he's not there as part of the household. He's talking about, we'll come to it in the next verse. But those are transgressors. Now that's the first category. Don't receive transgressors. Second category, those that abide not in the doctrine of Christ. Abide not in the doctrine of Christ. What is someone who abides not in the doctrine of Christ? That is someone who doesn't abide under the Lordship of Christ. So he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he that both have the Father. Now watch the next verse. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him encouragement in going his transgressing ways, in his lack of Christ way. For he that encourages him to continue as a transgressor that he is, and encourages him to continue without Christ, becomes a partaker of his evil deed. So watch this now. Tips for your household. Number 12. Don't bring him into your household where he can transgress and contradict everything that you've been building in your children, in the home, in your jurisdiction. Don't bring someone in who's going to tell and argue and debate with you that Jesus Christ is not Lord. Not in your household. Because you see, your household is sacred territory. It's your jurisdiction. It's where nobody gets to tell you what you allow and what you don't allow. It's where you answer to God. It is and should be the holiest place on the planet. Households of faith. Households where a man and a woman bound together in covenant. No strife. No, weaky, weak, willy, washed out men in leadership. But two people bound together to raise children in an environment that they can and must control and keep holy. I personally think that this verse, let me back it up because I want you not to miss the context of this verse. That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive the full benefit, reward of what we've been working for. I personally think that this is why a husband, this is where the buck stops, right here. No compromise. Men who will make sure that no music, no video, no magazine, no pictures, no articles that portray transgression, and that resist Jesus Christ, do not love.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.